This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up, folks? Welcome in. Another wonderful edition of Money Moves here on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormer Bonatoni out on assignment. She'll be back on Tuesday, so you're stuck with me over the next couple of days. We got a good show on tap for you today. A lot of baseball going on today, including, how about this? I get screwed over. It's all about me. The Reds and White Sox moving their start time up. Supposed to start at 11:10 a.m. Pacific time, but we now have four games that are currently underway in Major League Baseball. So before we get to the rundown, let's update you on everything going on. Three of the four dogs getting bet today in this early window slate. Let's start with the Chicago White Sox and those Cincinnati Reds. This is the highest scoring game of the day so far. 4-3 in the top of the third inning between these two clubs. Looks like the White Sox got bet against here a little bit. Minus 140 to minus 134, the closing number here at Circa. Andy Abbott getting the start for the Cincinnati Reds. Darling of sorts for this program, as is Eric Fetty, former Hustle and Rebel out here at UNLV, out there on the mound right now for Chicago, working through some work coming out of the bullpen. Martin getting the start, getting chased pretty early. Two innings pitched, two hits, three earned runs, and 35 pitches. We'll count in or check in on Martin to see what's going on there. Did not see whether or not he was pulled for performance or for injury, so we'll update what's going on. The second time for a short stint, by the way, for Martin. Last time we saw him, for those who don't remember, was a start against the Cleveland Guardians. Got pulled after one because of rain. Now here again, getting a little bit of a short hook, so we'll see what exactly is going on. Really? Had a pitch at his head. Okay, did not really see this. All right, so we will see what's going on and the ramifications of what's going on with Martin. But again, Fetty out there opposing Abbott. Abbott not doing so well. Four earned runs over two innings. Other matchups here, we have low-scoring affairs, Yankees and Mariners. That one's scoreless. Yanks being the lone favorite, getting bet up about 20 cents here at Circa from $1.44 to $1.68. Scoreless in the bottom of the fourth inning between Miami and Pittsburgh. It looks like Pittsburgh got bet down minus 129 in the overnight, the open minus 120 at the close. And Detroit draws first blood here against Cleveland. They're up 1-0 top of the fourth inning. It was Cleveland getting bet against here for minus 122 to minus 110 at Circa. But we have plenty to get to. It is a jam-packed show. Football is here. So without further ado, let's get it started.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
Our training camp tour continues as it always does. I'll be driving solo for these couple of legs of the trip, but Motor City is where we began. A little bit of Motor City madness when it comes to the offense for the Detroit Lions, coming off of a 9-win season, but a lot of expectations for Detroit this coming year. Part of it has to do with the schedule that seems very easy. Shouldn't say seems. They've got the easiest schedule by opponent win total so far this season, but issues potentially popping up with this offense. We'll tell you what they are and what that could mean for a team that has a ton of expectations both internally and externally when it comes to their success in the 2026 season. Also on the docket for today, a little bit of an octagon outlook. UFC coming up this weekend. Looks like a pretty fun card, including Islam Makhachev at the top in the main event. So very much looking forward to breaking this down. Dave Ross will be with us as we look ahead to the card this coming weekend. We'll have his best bets. We'll look at every single aspect of this and get some value out of what should be a fun card. A little top-heavy, though. Main events seem fun, some recognizable names. But outside of that, maybe not a lot of depth to the UFC card this coming weekend. But we start with football. Thursday night means some Thursday night lights. We are very excited. NFL preseason kicks off in earnest tonight. We have a smattering of games in the National Football League. We have a lot of line movement. We'll get to some of the news for some of the games tomorrow as well. But how about this today? Six contests later tonight in the National Football League, which is where we're going to start our program for today. Wanted to go through a lot of the line moves, where we're at, where we opened, and what some of this means, and how you want to attack some of these games, because we've talked about this a little bit at length here on this program and talked about it yesterday with Stormy. You will see rapid line movement off of news. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to catch than others. And I think sometimes we get a little too aggressive. But let's start at the top here. Pittsburgh Steelers playing host to the Green Bay Packers. Steelers originally at some spots open up as a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 37.5. Current number right now has Pittsburgh catching about 2.5, now 3, with a total of 40.5. Now, we do know that there are going to be some starters for Green Bay. We don't know the degree. Mr. LaFleur, tell us what the plan is for your Green Bay Packers.
I'd say it's pretty fluid in regards to how many snaps. But I do think there's a lot of value for all our guys to just get mentally prepared to go play a game. Whether it's one play, whether it's three plays, 10 plays, the whole game. I think there's a ton of value in that. Just getting your process down.
Yeah, getting the process down, and it looks like the Steelers potentially aren't playing their starters here today. But the reason why I wanted to play that, because that's LaFleur from about a day ago, I do think it matters because we as a betting community and the betting market as a whole moves very quickly for some of this news, and rightfully so, right? If the Green Bay Packers are going to play their starters and it seems that the Steelers are not, then there is some value in moving the line in one direction. But we still don't know what the role of those starters are going to be. In fact, LaFleur was asked about just generally what he expects, and he even said he reserves the right to not even play Jordan Love. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but the whole point here being is that I think that we overvalue the presence of starters in preseason games. Jordan Love could play this game and then just come out, hand the ball off three times, and leave the game. That we don't know exactly the extent of what this is. They just maybe want to get them out there. We don't know what they're going to work on, but the market moves pretty heavy when you get some of these news. Again, you're up to three here in favor of Green Bay over at DraftKings and other spots. And I tend to, and maybe sometimes for me, this is a mistake, but in the preseason, I tend to want to push back on some of these because it gets really aggressive. And then you really see the impact in the first half. For today, the Packers are up to a three-point favorite over at DraftKings. For the first half, they're 3.5-point favorites. Total's at 23. Circa here, they're a 3-point favorite, minus 115. 3.5 at other spots. So for the game, they're 3-point favorites. And for the first half, they're 3.5-point favorites. A lot of that has to do, obviously, with the thought of Love and the starters not playing into the second half. Maybe they're only going to play the quarter. We don't know, and that's the whole premise here. But do know that the Steelers, at first, it looked like everything was up in the air. The quote from, I think it was from the Steelers the other day, we do know this. There's going to be three groups loosely separated, with the first playing a series or two, the second finishing the first half, and the third taking the second half. The question about this overall is what the quarterback depth chart is going to look like as it shakes out for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, by the way, go to VSiN.com. All of the depth charts are posted in the singular article written by Matt Eumanns, who's going to join us a little bit later today. We'll talk about some preseason football, some of the depth charts. But for the depth charts for the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Drew Aller, I think the real question becomes how that dynamic between Rudolph, Howard, and Aller is going to shake out with the news that Rodgers isn't going to be out there. Will Mason Rudolph get the start? Will Howard, Drew Aller? Again, this is kind of moving as we're talking, so I'll get to the bottom of this and see what's going on. But how that shakes out is going to be pretty interesting between Howard and Aller. Howard, of course, we have not seen. Didn't play in the preseason last year because of an injury. Didn't get in on the regular season either. Let's move on to another contest that I thought was pretty interesting. Los Angeles Chargers on the road against the Houston Texans as part of the preseason today. Houston Texans open up as a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 38.5. Current numbers right now for this matchup between these two. Houston, about a 1.5-point dog, total 37.5. Chargers not playing starters in the first game here against Houston. Quote from Harbaugh, who kind of laid out everything that he thinks. Quote, we have a plan. Veterans, starters, not an exact 11, more like 15, will warm up for the first game against Houston, then not play. Then about 27 or so will play the first preseason game. Second preseason game, we'd like to see the starters, the veterans, play a series. And then the third game, we'd like to see them play two series. Hopefully there's good clarity, and then we could all prepare as we need to do. What's going to be interesting here, and we'll expand on this with humans, because there's a couple of teams that have these situations. The Colts playing later today are one of them. There it seems to be a true quarterback battle for the second spot for the Los Angeles Chargers between DJ Uiagalelei and Trey Lance. And DJU, potentially, according to some reports, really pushing Trey Lance for that battle. So what that means from a play-calling standpoint, not entirely sure, but you do know at the very least that they are trying to actively, the Chargers that is, and this coaching staff, see who the best option is as a backup quarterback for Justin Herbert. Maybe that means some better starters or better players along the offensive line sticking around. Maybe that means some actual play calls for these guys to see how they operate. But it does seem that quarterback competition generally leads to some success. And the good thing for the Chargers is generally they have a pretty good depth chart for preseason football, both DJU and Trey Lance, with some mobility so then they can counteract some of the poor offensive line play they might see as this game goes along. As far as the Texans are concerned, not playing their starters, the select group that DeMeco Ryans was talking about the other day, the starters not going to be out there on either side of the ball. Houston does not have as sexy of a depth chart. We do know that C.J. Stroud's not going to play. Davis Mills is a very serviceable quarterback in the National Football League. And then Graham Mertz, one would assume that Graham Mertz is going to take a vast majority of these snaps at quarterback, because the second most valuable position outside of your quarterback is your backup quarterback. And I would think that they don't want to put Davis Mills out there and risk him. He has been very good in his spot starts for the Houston Texans. Tennessee Titans on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. Starters are going to play for the Tennessee Titans. Saleh the other day after practice, quote, I don't want to put a number on it, but it's not just going to be a series, end quote. 49ers opened as a 2.5-point favorite. They are now, San Francisco, catching 5.5 or 6 against the Tennessee Titans. Total 39.5, 40.5, depending on where you look. Now, this is a line move I can get behind a little bit more, only because, yes, part of this is, hey, our starters are going to play. You have the new regime taking over in Saleh, so maybe that actually means something here. But there's so many injuries for the San Francisco 49ers. You're signing guys to absorb snaps. I understand this to an extent. Some of this is that dynamic of starters playing versus backups to start the game, but some of it also is just the attrition that this team is dealing with, and you're not seeing that same dynamic. Yes, the first half line is inflated. Titans are a 4.5-point favorite. Before the game, they're 6-point favorite, so a little bit more baked into this is the attrition that the roster is going through for the San Francisco 49ers today. And then a last bit of news here, Indianapolis Colts and the New England Patriots. For those who did not see this, we know that the Patriots are not going to play their starters. Drake May will be out. And as we talked about yesterday when Stormy was here, Shane Steichen told the media the other day, Anthony Richardson and, of course, Riley Leonard going to split duties, play the halves, and then we'll see what goes from there. We're going to see Anthony Richardson first off. We saw this flip. New England was a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 38.5 at the open. And now you're starting to see this Indianapolis as about a 2-point favorite, 2.5. Some spots, like DraftKings, up to 3 with a total of 37.5. First half number for Indianapolis, not as dynamic, right, as we're talking about here, a 0.5-point spread with a total of 20 between those two teams. Again, another quarterback competition. So, and the important thing, too, for Richardson, they're shopping him around. They want to see him succeed because they want to get something out of him for sure. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Primetime, one of two hosts for the program that's going to be with us today. We'll get his thoughts on these quarterback depth charts, some preseason plays that he has, and a little bit more. It's coming up next year on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To the question, Davis Martin was ejected today. He hit Sal Stewart in the head. Stewart, of course, had a solo homer off Martin in the first inning. So the natural rebuttal from Davis Martin, not to strike him out, sit him down, and perform your job, it was to throw a fastball at his head because he was pissy about it. So Davis Martin gets ejected. That is why he had the short hook. We were discussing that earlier, whether or not that was going to, or excuse me, what had happened with Martin, another short start after playing just one inning against Cleveland last time out. We'll keep our eye on everything. That is a tie ball game now. 4-4 bottom of the third inning. White Sox and Reds out there in Chicago. But let's head out to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in our first guest of the day, Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Pride Time and the Friday Football Invitational Mastermind, which I know is coming together. I retweeted the tweet from you, so we wait with bated breath for the announcement, Matt. But the preseason is here tonight. We got some line movement here today. It looks like Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers aren't going to play their starters. And I wanted to start with there because Green Bay is going to play their guys. We just don't know to the extent. But this line has already flipped to Green Bay as about a 3-point favorite on the road, 3.5 in the first half. When it comes to some of these line moves, Matt, I've kind of made the case, you know me, that sometimes they're a little too strong. We've kind of understood that the Packers are going to play their starters, and I don't think we expected the Steelers were. This seems kind of strong, considering we don't know the role of the starters for Green Bay. They could just play a series and get out of there.
Well, I agree with you there, and I was talking about this yesterday with Paul Howard, too, and Chuck Edel and I were discussing the preseason yesterday. Nobody loves to bet the preseason more than Chuck. He would prefer to bet the preseason over regular season. And for those who say the pros don't bet the preseason, they're dead wrong about that. Jordan Love and the starters are going to play, what, one series, maybe two? How much of an edge is that? That's not much, you would think. And I actually kind of like the Pittsburgh quarterback situation, even behind Aaron Rodgers, with Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and possibly Drew Aller, but especially Will Howard. That's a guy I think should get a lot of snaps in this game. And Chuck was talking about overreactions in the market, and then I think this is one of them, where now you're seeing actually the three that was at DraftKings just disappeared while you and I were talking here in the last 30 seconds. But you could have grabbed Steelers plus 3, and you can still grab that at BetMGM, and it looks like South Point and a couple other spots out there. So, you know, when you read these headlines, the starters are playing. The starters might play one series or two. And how much is that actually worth, right? What is that worth? Is that worth a point? I'm not even. It's hard to quantify what it's worth because they've got to make that one drive pay off or that two drives pay off, and rarely is that going to be the case. So, I think this is one of those overreactions. Well, I would actually probably lean to Steelers plus three.
So the play that I actually do have, I have two. We'll get to the other one because I think maybe you'll agree with it. But the other one is a play against an overreaction. I took seven with Detroit. I think the market's getting pretty strong about this. And I made the case to Gil earlier today. I wonder if you would agree. When this opened Bengals as a 3.5-point favorite, I thought that that baked in what Zach Taylor told us last week, Matt, that the starters were going to play. And yet the number opens 3.5. We're up to seven. I understand the quarterback situation for the Detroit Lions, but Dobbs has worked well in terms of getting into teams on short notice and performing. Altmaier's fine. But again, in a preseason setting, the first half number is 6.5-7, and the game is 6.5-7. I understand the Bengals are going to play their starters, but again, this seems strong, and I thought the opening number factored that in pretty nicely.
Well, yeah, like we just talked about, Bengals are going to play their starters, what, two series? They're not going to play that much. And then it's Joe Flacco, Josh Johnson, and Sean Clifford. Basically, you're betting on Josh Johnson and Sean Clifford if you're going to lay 6.5 or 7 here with the Bengals. Now, admittedly, I hate this Lions quarterback situation. I did not like Luke Altmaier at Illinois, and Josh Dobbs has been in the Lions camp for, what, 3 days, something like that. So, I hate that, but at the same time, I think this is an overreaction, too. I haven't bet this game, but if I did, I would take the Lions plus seven. You're going to be sitting in a situation here if you lay it with the Bengals. Look, if you lay 3 or 3.5 with the Bengals, that's fine. But you can't lay 6.5 or 7 at this point. And you're going to be sitting there in a situation where you hope Josh Johnson and Sean Clifford cover for you in the second half, and I would not be interested in that bet.
All right, what do you make of your – what are your expectations, maybe I should put it that way, for the Las Vegas Raiders today in the debut of one Clint Kubiak as head coach? They are now up to a 3, 2.5-point favorite. Total's been rising steadily, too. It's as high as 42.5. I think that Kubiak's going to take this somewhat seriously, but what do you make of what we're going to see tonight out here at Allegiant?
Well, first of all, I can't believe you skipped over the Colts game. Did not ask about Anthony Richardson. I'm shocked.
We'll get there. Save the best for last.
Okay. All right. I talked about this yesterday, too. This is really my best bet tonight. I laid Raiders minus one, and I've been watching a lot of the interviews, reading the stories out of Raiders camp, and just general intuition is that the Raiders are going to take this game semi-seriously, and I think that Clint Kubiak probably wants to get that first win as coach, but more importantly, you're going to have three quarterbacks. You got something to prove who are playing tonight, and Kirk Cousins, Fernando Mendoza, and Aiden O'Connell. And look, the Arizona defense, I put these numbers in the VSiN betting guide a couple months ago, but the Arizona defense over the last 9 weeks of last season was the worst in the NFL. It was horrendous. That Arizona defense is still a disaster in the Hall of Fame game. If these Raiders quarterbacks can't go out and move the ball up and down the field against this Arizona D, something's wrong. I think the Raiders probably should be able to put up pretty good numbers tonight. And I know that the trends point to the team that has a game under its belt. If you go back and look at the trends, the teams that played the Hall of Fame game typically cover the next time they got a game experience, and that pays off. Well, trends don't pay the rent, as Jimmy Vaccaro says, and I think this should be an exception because this Arizona D is so bad. And the Raiders got the new coach and the quarterback competition angle. It's now gotten up to, like you said, 3 at DraftKings and Circa and several other spots, but I did lay Raiders minus one.
So my play, which is now long gone as we're speaking, maybe there's something that has come out in the market here. I laid 0.5 in the first half with the Raiders, and it is up to 2.5 now as we are talking about this game. Some thought there in the market that this team's going to – I think they're going to do what – remember when Josh McDaniels, when he took over the team a few years back, where they were game planning for these preseason games and actually putting some stuff out there to win some of them, and I would agree with you that Kubiak's going to do this. But big move here is not only the Raiders are 3-point favorite for the game, but they are now a 2.5-point favorite for the first half against Arizona. All right, let's talk about the headliner then. 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, all eyes will be on Boston, Massachusetts, as Anthony Richardson returns in glory for the Indianapolis Colts. They are 3-point road favorites, total of 37.5. No starters on the other side for New England. I would assume you laid every number with Indianapolis, maybe some alts as well.
I did not, but I'm intrigued by this game. I want to see how Anthony Richardson plays, and I think Shane Steichen needs to cut him loose. you got to find out if the kid can play. Just let him go out there. Don't try to put a saddle on a wild horse. Just let him go out and make plays, make something happen, let his natural ability take over, and see what Anthony Richardson can do. And at this point, why not? What do you have to lose? Just let him go out and play. I want to see if he can make some plays in a situation like this. And when you look at the Patriots, that's kind of a tough sell, too, with Tommy DeVito and Baron Morton. To me, this is one of those games that I'm really interested to watch and kind of evaluate, but I don't want to bet.
Well, in a similar situation, and you know, I was going through your quarterback depth charts and reading some of the news, I actually kind of like the quarterback depth chart for the Chargers as well, and they're taking on the Texans. Mm-hmm. We'll see if Davis Mills plays at length, but I don't think that would be the case, which means Graham Mertz is going to get it. But you have a quarterback battle for the second spot on that depth chart between DJ Uiagalelei and Trey Lance. I think that's generally positive for a team, right, when you have two guys that are vying for a job at the quarterback position.
Well, exactly, and both L.A. teams have that going on right now. So Trey Lance, DJ Uiagalelei, and Trey Lance has put up big numbers in the past in some preseason games. Obviously, he doesn't do any gets a regular season, but he's been a pretty good preseason quarterback. You have to evaluate these under a different through a different lens. Also, we don't have much time left, but the Rams have an interesting situation. Stetson Bennett and Ty Simpson are battling for that number two job, and that's what you have to look at a lot of times. There are heated competitions for these number two jobs, and the Chargers have it and the Rams have it.
We only have three games tomorrow: Miami, Washington, Tampa Bay, New York, and then Denver, Atlanta. Did you play anything for tomorrow?
Let's see. Tomorrow, I did not play that Washington game, even though I know sharp money's on the Dolphins there. The Washington situation is really kind of a train wreck right now with the Laremy Tunsil injury, and you don't want to play Jaden Daniels behind that offensive line right now. I would say that, by the way, Dan Quinn's got one of the worst records of any head coach in the NFL in the preseason. He's always been a bet against coach in the preseason. I did not play Denver, Atlanta either, but I do know sharp money is on the Broncos there just because it looks like Michael Penix is not going to play, and it's going to be Tua. And behind Tua for Atlanta, you got Cooper Rush and Jack Strand. JVT, do you know where Jack Strand played college football?
I looked this up. I know the mascot is the Dragons, I believe, but I don't remember where.
How about Minnesota Moorhead?
Okay. Am I right about the mascot?
What's that?
Am I right about the mascot? Are they the Dragons?
I don't even know what the mascot is. I just know he played at Minnesota Moorhead because I had to look it up. I said, who the hell is Jack Strand? And yeah, that's the quarter, Cooper Rush and Jack Strand, so that's not a great quarterback situation for the Falcons.
Matt, thank you very much. We appreciate it. By the way, I nailed it. At Matt Humans 24/7, VSiN Primetime. Check him out there. Go to VSiN.com, check out all the work. We'll be back. Tim Murray, his co-host, going to join us next.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season's here, folks. Preseason starts in earnest today. The sharp money's already moving. Here's how the sharp play sees it. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books. Thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time, and all of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. Nobody else in the industry runs one because most records couldn't survive it. Sharp plays record. Record. Why do I keep going record every time? The Sharp Plays record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com. Speaking of sharps, let's welcome in on the Progressive Guest Line another one of them, part of the VSiN Primetime crew. We just talked to Matt Humans. Let's talk to Tim Murray. You know, I've been yearning for my old days over there at VPT, and I wanted to get both of the guys on. We talked NFL preseason with Matt Humans, and now Tim, the mouse murderer Murray, is with us here as we must discuss week zero in college football, wrestling with the mortality of life after he took one of a rodent. But that's okay. It's okay. We don't need to worry our audience about those details. He's not one of those weird, you know, sadistic people picking mouses apart in the back of his house. It just had to happen. Let's talk some week zero, buddy. I am obviously really excited for week zero coming up, but I wanted to start with a very big game, selfishly. You know, I like UNLV football, but it's a massive one. It could have some college football playoff implications. UNLV's been bet up to a 6-point favorite with a total of 57.5. Am I wrong in thinking this UNLV team might be a little overvalued in the betting market?
Well, first and foremost, I don't know who's worse, you or humans. You can never tell either one of you guys anything's off the air. So we were having a moment. I was talking about some situations in the backyard, but we digress into the game of your love, which is UNLV. And I'm kind of with you here, JVT. And you know, I was texting with a buddy of mine who's a radio host down in Memphis, Jeffrey Wright. And I feel like I've got the best information coming in on these two games because you know this program at UNLV as well as anybody out there. And my buddy down in Memphis, I feel like, knows that program well, too. You know, you got the situation, and maybe it's the unknown, JVT, with Memphis and the turnover that they had. Ryan Silverfield leaves to go to Arkansas. They bring in Charles Huff. You know, remember a year ago, everybody, you know, in the college football betting world was on Southern Miss over their win total, and they got there with relative ease when they brought a lot of talent from Marshall down to Southern Miss. Now you're making another jump up, obviously. That was intra-conference. I'm really intrigued by Memphis here in this spot, and I just don't think there's a real necessity to bet it right now. If the market's going to continue to react like this, JVT, I'll wait and see if we get a 7. You know, it does concern me that the place that you sit at, Circa, which is thought to be maybe the sharpest college football shop in the world, is the only place at 6.5. So I'm going to do a little bit more digging on this one. But yeah, UNLV, it does feel like, JVT, when you're talking about teams to make the college football playoff, it's them and Boise State who are quickly discussed. And, you know, the American, I think the reality is that conference has a chance to cannibalize itself. So I think there's some thought process of whoever wins the Pac-12, if it's Boise and they run away with it, or if it's UNLV in the Mountain West, they would have a real opportunity to get this auto bid. But lastly, I'll say on this, and I think you would probably more abreast of it than I am, but like, if the reports are true that Alex Orji's fighting for this starting job over Jackson Arnold, I don't know about you, man, that gives me a big red flag. So we'll see. If this thing gets up to 7, I think it'll be a hold your nose. I got to take Memphis here in this spot in week 0.
I would say to that point, I think a lot was made of Dan Mullen's comments actually at a practice that I attended, and maybe from a clip that I had put up, that they were battling with each other. And then Orji had a very good practice the other day at the Raiders facility, from what I understand. But from what I gather, it's going to be Alex Orji as the backup here, and that Jackson Arnold is going to be the starting quarterback for UNLV. So I don't think it's Minnesota Vikings-esque, where it's like a fraudulent battle. I just think Jackson Arnold's got a little bit of a stiffer leg up than I think the perception is, but we'll see if that's the case. And I think at this time of the year, to kind of expand on this theme, I'm more willing to kind of push back on market moves at this time of year because, like, while there are some sharps that are very on top of these things, we all kind of know less about these groups. The line moves late in the season where you really want to respect them. And to that point, Tim, I kind of want to grab 7.5 out in Ireland with North Carolina. Look, I don't know if this offense is going to be very good, but I think we should give Bill Belichick credit. At the end of the year last year, they were covering numbers. They were a pretty good defensive team. And I think that at the very least, I kind of trust that they're going to be a competent defensive group. And if I'm getting 7 and a hook in a neutral site setting that can have some weird variance out there in Ireland, I'd be willing to take a stab with it, especially with, you know, this unproven quarterback at TCU. I'll take the key number with the hook added on to it. But what do you make of this game and where this has moved?
Well, I think that would be the number one contrarian play of the weekend, would be to go with North Carolina, as crazy as it sounds. You're seeing early reports from varying sports books that everybody and their mother is laying the chalk with TCU. And I get it, right? Based off of what this offseason has been, you know, the recent development of Steve Belichick, is he going to be back from this medical leave? We'll see. I will say on the positive, I do think the addition is unique as he is as a personality and certainly his past. I think Bobby Petrino is a very good hire for North Carolina as the offensive coordinator. Yep. So, you know, we'll see what North Carolina looks like from a, you know, an offensive standpoint. And yeah, I think TCU, you know, they did lose Josh Hoover. You know, say what you will about Josh Hoover and the turnovers that he had, you know, I you're bringing in an FCS quarterback. And, you know, I poked around a little bit to hear how Jaden Craig, the Harvard transfer, was looking. And I think they're excited about him, but kind of going back to what we were just discussing with UNLV, right? That's kind of blind optimism. So I would be hard pressed to lay 7.5. It's funny to think a year ago, the popular underdog of week 1 was North Carolina, right? And that in that big spot. Hey, they're going to take the world by storm, and they get absolutely blown out after an early touchdown drive. Now you get to catch these points on a neutral over in Ireland with Bill Belichick, and there's been nothing positive about this program. You know, I know Brad Powers came on my Saturday show and gave out under 4.5 plus money as a best bet on a season win total. I do think it's going to be a struggle when you look at some of the challenges they have on this schedule. But yeah, I think for me, it would be dog or pass right now when it comes to the game over in Ireland in week zero.
Tim Murray with us talking a little bit about week zero and some of these matchups. Actually, I think a really good week zero slate. A lot of these games are pretty good and impactful as well. And let's go to the ACC once more. But this one between two ACC programs, NC State and Virginia. Virginia about a 5.5-point favorite, total of 53.5. I think this is a really interesting matchup. NC State and C.J. Bailey themselves have a lot of aspirations. They think that they can make it to an ACC championship game. I think both of these teams have the potential to do it. Tim, what do you make of this? As we saw this, I think there's been a little bit of juice here in favor of Virginia. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we saw this open here at Circa in the range of about, NC State, open 6, down to 5.5. What do you make of this miniature line move, and what do you like?
Yeah, and this was the game that was supposed to be played in Brazil, and I know the folks down in Brazil are very upset that they don't get this massive ACC matchup to open up the college football season, but goes back to Charlottesville. It is probably the best game of week zero when you look at it. You know, we could argue the G6 ramifications of UNLV and Memphis, but, you know, this is a conference game. It was kind of a weird quirk last year these two teams played. It wasn't a conference game. This year it is a conference game with the ACC mostly going to 9 games, but that's a discussion for a whole other day with the decision making there in that conference. I'm having a hard time with this one because part of me wants to fade Virginia this year, JVT, because it did feel like, for the most part, outside of the ACC championship, a lot of fortune went their way. You know, a lot of balls kind of bounced their way. So I was thinking, all right, regression is coming. But NC State's kind of one of those chic teams that I think a lot of people are curious about. Hey, could they make a run to the ACC championship? They do retain C.J. Bailey, a quarterback. They also lost a lot of other talent. When you think about Hollywood Smothers going to Texas, they're running back, a lot of other pieces left via the portal. But you do have an upgraded quarterback and an unknown at quarterback for Virginia. You know, Chandler Morris leaving, you know, exhausting his eligibility, and now you bring in Bo Prabula. You don't really know what you've got there at the quarterback position. So I think this would be another spot for me, JVT, where I would look towards the dog here in NC State. So, you know, a lot of dogs jumping out to me here in week zero, you know, in these early games.
All right, last 90 seconds with you. One-way traffic, like a couple of these streets downtown for Hawaii and Stanford. Not many people buying in on the Rainbow Warriors. What's going on here? Is this just the Ashlock injury?
Yeah, I know, and you are bullish on Hawaii. We talked about it on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, and you believe they have some value to win this conference. I did make a bet in this game. It wasn't a side. I actually bet under 49.5 here. I was at the game last year. It was there were a couple turnovers, a couple short fields, but still was a 23-20 game. You've got a first-time head coach in Tavita Pritchard taking over this Stanford program, and I do think Stanford, are they going to lean into what they once were when Pritchard and Andrew Luck were on that roster, kind of ground and pound and try to grind you? I do wonder if the line move is mainly because of just the size up front for Stanford. Yes, Hawaii did lose Pafeli Ashlock, lost a couple other top receivers to the portal, but similar to what we just talked about with NC State, Micah Alejado is back from all accounts, off to a really good start in camp. So I think it'll be a competitive game. Have not bet the side, but I do think it's a lower scoring game, JVT. I envision, you know, almost similar to what we saw last year, 23-20. I think this is a lower scoring game. So I did bet under 49.5 for week zero out in the Bay.
At one, Tim Murray up on Twitter, College Football Betting Podcast, to be some prime time. Thanks a lot for the time, man. Appreciate it. And we will talk again soon.
All right, JVT. See you, man.
Yeah, you got it. VSiN prime time. We'll come back. Breaking news in Major League Baseball and the full slate as well.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
think Tim Murray, who is with us, discussing week zero. We're getting ready for college football. You should be ready, too. College football season right around the corner. You should get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with a VSiN Pro subscription. Previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50 power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. And VSiN Pro, you sign up, lets you get the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, some of the most underrated stuff that we do up on the website, I believe, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today. Just $9.99. You can lock in a full year as well. Save 50% on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. A couple of score updates in Major League Baseball. We do have some breaking news in the league as well that we will get to momentarily. But the Reds jumping out on top over the Chicago White Sox. The drama here, Davis Martin ejected after throwing at Sal Stewart's head. Stewart, of course, nailed him with a solo shot earlier in the contest. Martin getting a little bit of revenge in two starts. He has now pitched three innings, got cut short due to rain in his last outing against Cleveland. Now here gets ejected. But the Reds are exacting maybe a little bit of a revenge up 8-4, top of the fifth inning over the Chicago White Sox. They close about plus 120 dogs here at Circa. Parker Messick and the Cleveland Guardians trail 1-0 to the Detroit Tigers, but through really no fault of Messick, he's at least done his very best to keep this thing together. So far, 5 2/3, just got nailed for a second earned run, make it 2-0 Detroit, up on top in the seventh inning. For Messick today, 5 2/3, the two earned runs, and 6 strikeouts with 2 walks. We are into the bullpen now. Yoho's out there on the mound. Kiner Montero, 6 innings pitched so far. No strikeouts, 1 walk, and 3 hits against the Cleveland Guardians thus far today. Seattle and New York, look at this. The Mariners are capable of taking a lead. Logan Gilbert's getting out there on the mound. Top of the fourth inning, they lead 1-0 over the New York Yankees. Yankees, the lone favorite that got bet up in this early window, closes about $1.68 favorite. And Pirates, Marlins, up 2-0 is Pittsburgh in the top of the sixth inning. They close as $1.20 favorites, total of 8. Some low scores so far outside of that matchup between the White Sox and the Reds in the bottom of the fifth inning. So with that, a little bit of news. Speaking of the Cincinnati Reds in Major League Baseball, Hunter Greene has undergone Tommy John surgery for a second time. He's going to miss the 2026 season, of course, and all of the 2027 season. He might not miss a season. There might not be baseball. But either way, another Tommy John surgery for Hunter Greene. The oft-injured starter didn't make his first start of the current season, for those who don't remember, until early July because of elbow issues. Just 5 starts so far this year, a 6.83 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 9 walks, and 27 1/3. We've known about this for a while with Greene, utmost potential, but has not been really meeting it, especially when it comes to availability. And now we'll miss time. Won't see him again until 2028. With that, we do have some games today that we can discuss. Let's start in the National League and work our way around. We begin with the Chicago Cubs on the road against the Washington Nationals. Kevin Gausman, Cake Volley are going to oppose one another overnight here. At the Cubs is about $1.41 favorite, 8.5 shaded to the over at minus 115. Current number now, about $1.45, 8.5 still juiced in that way. So a small bump in favor of Chicago and Gausman. Last time we saw Gausman, on the road against KC, 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, got taken deep 1, struck out 4, and walked 1. That was in his Cubs debut. But you do wonder if maybe he's rounding into a little bit more of a deserved form. 3 earned runs over his last 12 2/3 of innings of work. That's 2 starts, a barrel rate of just 7%. Hard hit rate has dipped under 40 over those 2 starts. A minute sample size. But the reason it's worth bringing up is some of the underlying metrics have kind of proven to show that Gausman has been deserving of more on the season. He's got a 4.29 ERA, but a 3.82 expected and a 3.53 fielding independent. A little unlucky on balls in play, a little unlucky on the strand rate. So maybe that bounce back is happening here. Again, market slightly moving in his direction. Seems to be accurately priced, though. For Cavalli and the Nationals, Cavalli's been pretty good. 6 innings pitched against Cincinnati last time out. Give up 7 hits, 3 earned runs, all of them solo shots. Struck out 8 with 2 walks. Interesting to note for Cavalli, and maybe worth watching here today, home runs starting to become a small problem. He's allowed 6 home runs in his last 3 starts. That's over 18 innings of work. He's pitched at least 6 innings in each of his last 6 starts, 8 of his last 9, and he hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs in a start since June 7th, despite the growing issue of home runs. So something to keep in mind as the balls are leaving the park a little bit more often, but Cavalli still has been limiting other damage. We know that James Wood still out with an oblique injury. Worth updating that he's not expected back this week. And of course, since he's been injured, the Nationals, not 4-4, about 6 runs per game. We'll round up and be nice, but it's worth pointing out over this run, we'll call it, for the Nationals. Well, they are 4-4. Three of those four wins came against Cincinnati. When they took on, we'll call them contenders, playoff caliber teams, they went 1-4. That was Philly and the Chicago Cubs, a minus run, 8-run differential, and they've allowed 7.2 runs per game in those contests. So not as successful against some of the better teams. We'll see if that manifests here against Chicago. Let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers. Shane Drohan's going to get the start. Roki Sasaki's going to be out there. Dodgers open up as about a $1.36 favorite on the overnight line. Current number here, about a $1.41, small bump in favor of Los Angeles. Sasaki, I think, is going to be the story here for Los Angeles. I know that we've talked a lot about their struggles, but now the Dodgers waking up a little bit. They have won three straight. But Sasaki is really, to use that term again, woken up himself. He's not allowed more than 200 runs in a start over his last four, and 300 runs or fewer in 7 of 8. If you look at his last four starts, 24 innings pitched for Sasaki, 5 earned runs total, 2 homers allowed, 26 strikeouts to 7 walks. And in comparison with what we've seen for the season, just so you can understand what the improvement is here, for the season, Sasaki has struck out 23.8% of opposing hitters. Over this four-game stretch, he has struck out 27.7%. He has walked 9% of overall batters he's faced so far this season. Walk rate's down to 7.4% over this four-inning stretch. So whether Sasaki's actually figured some things out with the bigger glove, whatever it is, he's at least rounding into a better form. And so looking at him as a 4.54 ERA, 4.16 expected guy, which is what his season-long numbers would tell you, recent form would tell you that he's playing a little bit better as we're looking at it here. Drohan on the other side. Last start we saw him, Minnesota, 5 innings pitched, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, got taken deep twice, one of his worst starts of the season, struck out 4 but walked 4 as well, and very quietly has been knocked around a couple of times in recent memory. On the 24th of July, 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 5 earned runs against the Rockies. He's allowed 3+ earned runs in 4 of 5 starts, and over that stretch he's got a 5.83 ERA. Some of the underlying metrics, again, similar to what we've seen for some of these guys. Maybe you can make a little bit of a case that Drohan's been a little unlucky, but Dodgers kind of getting back on the horse. Sasaki has been pitching pretty well. Maybe the market's not giving Sasaki enough credit. Under a $1.40 seems like something worth looking at here for the Dodgers if Sasaki's going to maintain this form today against Milwaukee. Let's head to the American League. Boston Red Sox are going to send out Tolley here to oppose Max Scherzer. Red Sox lost 5 straight. Magic's done. They're cooked. Everything's going to be done here. They're at 4 up in the second wild card spot in the American League. The offense, though, has been the issue, and we've talked about this a lot with Boston in the big picture. It's one of the reasons why they went shopping at the deadline for some offensive help. The offense is pretty below average, and they need help when they could get it. It had gotten hot for a couple of weeks, but we've seen now what the issues are with Boston over this 5-game losing streak. They're averaging just 2.8 runs per game during the slide. Rutschman's been up, but we haven't seen him perform quite yet in 2 starts so far. 1 of 6, no runs, no RBI, 2 strikeouts and 3 walks for Rutschman in a Red Sox uniform. It's 2 games, so you're not freaking out too much. Tolley, 3.20 ERA, 2.79 expected in this season versus Sacramento. I call him the Sacramento Ace. The A's, 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 14. He was absolutely fantastic. He struck out 7+ in 5 straight starts. One would assume that maybe this is an opportunity for him to keep that going, but Toronto, pretty good at putting the ball in play. They might not hit particular, or the ball might not land. You might not get it, but they will make contact. They will put the ball in play. Maybe worth looking under a strikeout total for Toll here, but Scherzer on the other side, what do we do with him? Do we go with larger sample size, or do we go with recent sample size? Last start, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, both of them solo shots. He struck out 4. His last 3 starts, Scherzer, 14 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 13 strikeouts to 4 walks. Barrel rate is down. Hard hit rate is down. Strikeout rate starting to creep back up. So you do wonder if Scherzer's maybe just starting to get his arm back, his legs back here. We saw this open at $1.64 in favor of the Red Sox on the road. Current number, though, we're looking at -134. That seems like a little bit more of a fair price. The pricing on Boston had reached its all-time high. And even if you don't really believe in Scherzer's turnaround, given the way the offense is playing and what we're looking at here for this matchup, $1.64 and +140 coming back on the other side seemed a little pricey. I know Boston, again, power rating wise is very high now, but $1.34 seems to be about priced right. That's where the market kind of met its point of resistance, by the way, at least here at Circa. We saw this get down to as low as -128, but now we're back to that $1.34 range in favor of the Boston Red Sox. Last one in the American League, we got a couple of interleague contests, including that Field of Dreams game, which we'll get to a little bit later. But Texas Rangers and Anaheim Angels, I like how I waved that off. I haven't seen Field of Dreams, so I don't really care that much, to be quite honest with you. But some people out there do. Corn, right? That's the theme. Ghosts, things like that. Anyway, Kevin Costner? Yeah, I think so. I like how I look at Justin. Justin's just as clueless as I am, our producer. Either way, Jacob DeGrom, Walbert Urania are going to get the start to oppose one another here. Let's talk about Urania really quickly. 2.83 ERA, last start, just 2 1/3, 4 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 3 walks. We know the game plan for Urania. You just got to get that pitch count up. You got to make them work, and you can have some success. But the kid has been absolutely fantastic. And DeGrom, last start, 5 innings pitched, 3 hits and an earned run. It was a solo shot, 9 strikeouts to 1 walk. He has allowed 5 earned runs in 2 of his last 4 starts, and he hasn't pitched well on the road. So you do wonder what that means for him here. But Urania, pretty volatile dude for the most part. And I don't know if I trust him entirely. We saw this open at $1.40 or $1.56 on the road. Seemed a little high for Texas. We're down to that $1.54 range. We'll get to the Field of Dreams game. Don't worry. We also have to get to the Detroit Lions, who are next up as part of our training camp tour. Don't miss it. It's coming up next here on Money Moves.